Robinhood Radio presents Agriculture from Tucana Farms. Here's Mark Scherzer.
Last Monday afternoon, just off the train back to the city from the farm, I found myself, appropriately for the last day of April, which Peter recently reminded us is a cruel and taunting month, pelted by a cold, hard rain. Despite the discomfort, I was in an uncharacteristically happy and optimistic state, apparently another common April byproduct. For some reason, the juxtaposition of my happy state and the less than ideal weather got me quixotically to thinking about whether grasses and trees enjoy being rained on. I've been intrigued by all the recent information on plant consciousness, and it occurred to me that while rain might be good for them, they might not really love being assaulted by it. Maybe they just endure such weather grumpily. How, after all, do you think it would feel if your very delicate, vegetative skin were pummeled hard by big, fat, heavy raindrops, or even worse, by pellets of hail? Sure, you may be immobile and stuck out there in the field, but that doesn't mean you wouldn't prefer to be elsewhere. We've noticed that all our farm animals, other than the waterfowl, tend, when given the option, to take shelter during rainstorms. I mentioned this question of whether plants enjoy the rain to Peter as a possible topic for this week's bulletin. Though we switch off every week, we produce these bulletins collaboratively. We not only edit each other's work, but we also debate potential themes and subject matter. Peter vehemently objected to my suggested topic. He pointed out that I don't have nearly enough information on whether plants really have feelings. Sure, they bend toward the sun, for example. But to suggest that the process is more than mechanical and is impelled by some sort of considered decision would be purely a matter of speculation. Peter said I should focus instead on matters of more direct concern to us as agriculturalists, such as the new farm bill that was recently introduced in Congress. Ever accommodating, I checked out what trusted voices are saying about the farm bill. An article by Member of Congress Shelley Pingree describes the bill as being drafted solely by the majority members, that is, the Republicans, on the House Agriculture Committee, the committee chiefly responsible for legislation involving the U.S. Department of Agriculture, or USDA, and agriculture policy generally. The bill was drafted behind closed doors and without Democratic participation and was released just over a week ago. It has a very few positive features, which Representative Pingree summarizes, and I quote, "There's an increase in funding for the Food Insecurity Nutrition Incentive Program, which allows SNAP, that's Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, commonly known as food stamp recipients, to double their benefits when buying fruits and vegetables. A new food waste and recovery liaison position would be established at the USDA. The National Organic Programs Authority would be expanded to address the growing concern about fraudulent imports, and organic research would receive more, although not sufficient funding." Unquote. But these small steps forward on the margins of our agricultural programs are overwhelmed in significance by the numerous ways in which this regressive bill cuts at the core of the USDA's mission. 80% of USDA appropriations are dedicated to SNAP, food stamps, that is. This draconian bill would cut $20 billion from SNAP over 10 years. Even though, as Representative Pingree notes, studies show that the vast majority of SNAP recipients who are able to work already do so, the bill would impose new work requirements. The bill's sponsors themselves estimate that some 1 million people will lose their benefits as a result of these changes. Critics estimate the loss will be double that, and that most will leave not to enjoy a new prosperity in the low-paying jobs they've been forced to take, but rather to join the ranks of the perpetually hungry. Critics of the Farm Bill also note that the expenditures for food distributed through SNAP benefit struggling American agriculture by buying up surplus farm produce and indirectly supports prices. It's one of the programs that most unites members of Congress representing rural farmers and those representing the urban working poor. The bill would also cut $5 billion from the current level of funding for conservation of working lands. This is one of the few government programs that has directly benefited our farm by paying most of the cost of installing water sources, piping, and hydrants for our pastured animals in the fields, in exchange for fencing them off from a stream that ultimately feeds the Hudson. The bill would roll back other programs devoted to avoiding farm contamination of water sources, as well as those directed to reducing pesticide use and protecting endangered species. It would eliminate funding for such programs as the Farmers Market and Local Food Promotion Program, the Value-Added Producer Grants, and the Rural Energy for America Program, all programs promoting sustainable agriculture. These programs could conceivably be funded through annual appropriations instead of the five-year farm bill, but there's no guarantee. The bill favors big ag over little ag, big time. The program that helps small farms with the cost of organic certification would under this bill be ended altogether. At the same time, at least 8 new loopholes would direct more subsidy and crop support money to the biggest farms, including farmers with income in the millions of dollars who are now excluded from such benefits. In the recent tax legislation, there were some signs that agricultural support was being tilted slightly away from big agribusiness towards small farms, but this bill would more than reverse that tilt. Crop subsidies and supports, 40% of which now go to just the top 3% of farms, continue with full and even increased funding in this bill. The pork barrel for the porkiest will stay filled to the brim. Having considered all these features of the Farm Bill, I can only conclude that the small farmers in this region, and those who value what small farms do, should strongly oppose it. It strikes hard at sustainable farming and gives greater advantages to the largest, least responsible commodity producers. Further, its attack on food stamps is just the first step in Speaker Paul Ryan's grand plan to dismantle Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, and the rest of the social safety net. Instead, it promotes the concentration of wealth in those who already have won life's race. I'm finding it ironic that Peter thought I should write about the Farm Bill, because I had insufficient evidence to write about whether plants have feelings. Consider the members of Congress who wrote this bill. Based on its contents, there's scant evidence that these lawmakers actually have feelings either. Although they mechanically seem to bend in whatever direction the well-heeled lobbyists dictate, like plants to the sun, it's simply speculative to suggest this is any more than an automatic mechanical response to where the campaign donations come from. If there is any considered thinking here, it's bad thinking and reflects terrible values. Peter points out that if I'm going to compare these lawmakers to plants, the right comparison would be to weeds. He's right. And luckily, a day is coming up this November when we can all help weed them out.
Peter Davies and his partner Mark Scherzer are proprietors of Turkana Farms, specializing in heritage breeds of livestock on their 40-acre farm in Germantown, New York. Peter also presides over Turkana Odyssey, in which he customizes cultural tours of Turkey for small groups, which he calls an insider's view of Turkey. And his third hat is Turkana Gallery of Old and Antique Kilims, which he operates in the Wall Street area of Manhattan. Mark presides over his law firm, Mark Scherzer Law Office, which specializes in health law, also in the Wall Street area. Their farm website? TurkanaFarms.com. Their email, farm@TurkanaFarms.com, or 518-537-3815.